Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Show Me Missouri. This week we're in Miller County, right on Lake of the Ozarks. If you're coming down 54, if you ever been here, you probably drove through Miller County to get to Lake of the Ozarks. You didn't even know he's here. We are at the Willamore Lodge in Miller County, joined by Representative Rocky Miller. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Don Steen, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you very much.
And Tom Wright, I'm Scott Fawn, and we always like to tell you this is the history of Missouri, one county at a time. Mr. Wright, tell folks a little about yourself.
Well, my name's Tom Wright. I'm a lifelong resident of Miller County. I'm presiding commissioner in the county, just finishing my 16th year doing that. I'm married, have four daughters, all grown, moved away, seven grandchildren, enjoying that title. But I enjoy living in Miller County, and that's where I wanted to stay.
Mr. Steen, tell folks about yourself, former director of ag, former legislator.
Yeah, mostly turkey farmer, but family's been here for generations. We homesteaded south of the river, close to Iberia. I can take you to my great-great-great-grandpa's grave just over the line to Camden County, but we've been here that long. My dad started farming right here where the golf course is in 1943, raising turkeys, and flooded out two times in 6 years and went to the ridge, and that's where we live today, raising turkeys.
Representative, a lot of folks listening to this will know you, but tell folks about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a sixth generation Miller Countyan. It's on the Sloan side. The Miller part of me is a little suspect, so we don't go down that road too much. It's nice that I've got the same name as the county, but not so sure if I go back to the original William and Boyd Miller or not there, but it's an important part of our family, and this is where I live, and this is where I plan to stay.
Well, the sad part about this show here is all the folks in Jeff City that you've told that Miller County was named after your family are going to know different.
I've never said that. You've said it many times, but along with other things too, but we'll keep that for another show.
That's a family show. We'll talk about Miller County. It was founded on February 6, 1837. It was the 61st county. The county seat's in Tuscumbia. Now, Ms. Sheen, am I saying that right?
You betcha.
You are.
Good. Named after John Miller, the fourth governor of Missouri. He is from Virginia. He was a newspaper publisher. He sold his paper in Iowa, Ohio, when he moved out here, to James Wilson, the grandfather of the future president, Woodrow Wilson. He was a good friend of Senator Thomas Hart Benton and in his crew, and he became the fourth governor of Missouri from Howard County, and they named Miller County after him. Now, if you name your county after the governor, you got to be entitled to some kind of extra government gratis, right?
Yeah, you think so.
You get a bigger slice of the pie, I'd assume, and especially from that governor. Talking about how it was settled, there's a ton of hunting ground here. Folks, we'll get to the lake, but actually when Miller County was formed, there was no Lake of the Ozarks here. But there was a bunch of Indian traffic, bunch of hunting and trapping. There was a ton of folks from the Osage Indians in Rocky. You know a little about the Osage Indians.
Well, I know about the Osage Indians mostly because I'm a Cherokee Indian, and we were picked up in Alabama and moved over to Oklahoma, and the Osage Indians were moved out of here by the federal government, and oddly enough, the Cherokee Indians were already there, and we had to give them some of our land. We ended up giving them the scrub, the nasty stuff up north. Guess where all the oil and wind power is now?
North.
Yeah, that's where those guys are. They got all of it. We didn't get any of it, so they're a very wealthy tribe, and I don't think they'd take us back. I don't know.
Well, you now that you're a state representative, you got that title in mind. But as we talked through, there was the Blanton Indian War come from around here. A couple guys named Blanton fought Indians as they were moving folks from Cooper County, which I guess Miller County was cut out of Coal County, right? Back in the day, this
is part of that big area.
Yep. Yeah, 1820 to 1837, it was part of Coal County.
About 1815, you saw the first white settlers come here. When you do pop up in 1821, William and Boyd Miller came. There's Spring Garden Prairie in the northeast, and were the first permanent settlers of the territory. Now, do you really date yourself back to them?
You know, my
dad. Tell us about how the Millers came here.
Well, my dad actually talked to the grandson of Boyd Miller. He was still alive, and Boyd said, "You're one of us." And so dad's always taken that as part of it. The problem is dad's great great grandfather was John Miller. And John Miller doesn't show up in any lineage that I can find, and I've looked it up. So my background comes from Sloanes. The Sloanes came right before the Civil War, and they settled in a place called Bray's Mill over near Iberia. So I've got a bunch of Sloanes over there. Although, as I was running around knocking doors 6 years ago, some of them were saying, no, we're not your cousin. We spell it S-L-O-A-N. I said, well, no, here's what happened. My great-grandfather got mad at his other brothers, moved across the river to Tuscumbia, changed his name to S-L-O-N-E, and so that he would just completely disavow himself of the rest of them. So, yeah, we've been kind of that way ever since. So,
Mr. Wright, how'd your family come to settle in Miller County?
Well, the Wright side's about like Rocky's Miller. I don't have a lot of records on the Wrights, but mine's through the Williams side. They came up through the southern part. Actually, Don and I are probably kin way back a long time ago. So I can go way back on the Williams side. But that's how they settled here. And then the rest of them on the Wright side, they were all around Mary's home and down in that area. So I guess when they built the bridge, the two sides merged and Wrights married the Williams. But the Williams is my old side of the family.
Ms. Sheen, how'd your folks come to settle in Miller County?
Like Tommy said, we come from the same root in Williams' family. The Williams Cemetery over by Iberia, between Iberia and Brumley, is where our ancestors were originally buried and where the farm was. The Steens also came in from the Carolinas and Kentucky and went and dug through an old field down in Conway, Missouri, and found my great-great-great-grandpa's Judah Steen's gravestone. And so, but then they moved up to Dean's Creek, which is right into Camden County, right across the Miller County line. So we've both sides really has been right in the southern part of Miller County.
We always like to take a minute and tell folks how we came to be here and thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, Missouri Association Electric Cooperatives, Missouri Association of Counties, and CFM Insurance. The first county court held in 1842, first judicial circuit was under Judge William Scott. Now, I guess that was probably out of Jeff City at the time, if you had to guess. The first sheriff was W.N. Harrison. And when they met like most times in a house. They didn't have a courthouse to meet in, so they'd meet in whoever's house was free. Then they began a series of appointing judges and sheriffs. The attorney general for the county was William Napton. It's interesting how when they formed the counties, how much different it is today. They call them prosecuting attorneys, all the different offices. Tell us about the county court in Miller County today.
Well, of course, might as well say it out loud. We're all controlled by Republicans. And so all the court offices are Republican. I'm going to let Tommy talk a little bit about that since he's actually serving right now.
Well, my position used to be judges. The commissioners were judges back then. I think we had power to marry people and everything, but the official judges took away that privilege several years ago. They met four times a year, first Monday of every quarter. They were supposed to meet in January to set the budgets and then go in the first Monday of every quarter thereafter and conduct official county businesses. I've tried since I've been in office to tell everybody I'm just supposed to work 4 days a week, and it still hasn't worked. So our jobs have changed greatly as the counties got more populated and people settled everywhere. It's more of a managing position now. We do the budget still, but we handle daily problems all the time. So my position has really changed. The other positions haven't. Still have the collector and assessor and recorder, treasurer, and the clerk. While their jobs have changed greatly, their titles really haven't. They still do the same thing. So busy as can be, the courthouse. We have a very nice new courthouse in Miller County. Built it in 02. I came into office first year, January 03, into the new courthouse. I think I was in the old one for about 6 months, and then we moved in.
So you hit it just right.
I hit it just right. I have an office with windows instead of a hole with one door for a file cabinet. But just greatly outgrew it, and the old courthouse was getting very dilapidated and run down. Birds would fly through the courtroom every now and then. The courtroom is on the second floor, which had no elevator, so we had to upgrade and get all that modern. But yes, I came in for the new one and have enjoyed it. We have a new jail and a new courthouse sitting there.
I served in both, and certainly the new one is a big, big improvement. I had foot and a half walls in the assessor's office that we walked through from one little room to the other because it had been added on to a couple times, and so we was going through exterior walls to get to another room. And it was much like what Tommy said. It was sold at the courthouse steps, the new courthouse mm-hmm. steps, the old courthouse really? Was, for $20,000. So it was opportunity there that most people passed on. But
well, you want to hit it like the commissioner did, where you didn't have to put the measure to pay for it on the ballot. You get to serve it. That's how you want to. If you can line that up, that's how you want it to be.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that the guy that put it on there didn't get to serve in it.
but made sure and put his name on the plaque.
He is. It is name. And he's actually the guy that called me up to run for office when I ran. But my great-grandfather was the predecessor to Tommy in the 60s. He was a judge. He's presiding judge in Miller County. Elmer Sloan was. And so, it was an interesting way to head it set up.
So Miller County is Republican today, like most rural counties. Has it always been that way, though? There's a change that came to a lot of counties.
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny you say that because the last Democrat to hold office in Miller County was my aunt. My mom's sister was the last one. And oddly enough, they called her up to try to run against me. And she said, I don't like some of the things he does, but I'm not running against him.
Let's make a point. She was appointed.
She was appointed.
She was appointed because the treasurer died in the car wreck.
Yeah, so let's not.
The treasurer, who's my cousin.
Yeah.
Let's be
my
clear.
Dad's first cousin.
Rocky's got
no
a
Democrats have been
right
elected.
There.
No Democrats have been elected. So
Paul Adams.
You got to get that straight. Well, you know, a ton of Missouri counties, though, were Democrat for a long, long time and just recently became Republican. Miller County has always been a Republican county.
As far as I can ever remember, my great grandfather is Republican.
Your statement, it's a Republican like all the other rural counties. We're not like all the other rural counties. It used to be some Democrats.
Yeah.
We're all Republicans.
And always have been.
So,
you know, you find that kind of sporadically around the state, but you go through rural Missouri, most county courthouses were all Democrat up until maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they may be all Republican today, but that is in a lot of counties outside of southwest Missouri, you've got most counties were all Democrats up to, and of course, Rocky's appointed aunt.
But I've seen a lot of that changes since I've been in office with the presidings. They've gone from Democrat to Republican.
I wonder, though, when you look back on it, if you look in Butler County, when the presiding commissioners were a Democrat, pretty similar people, pretty conservative folks. National Party seemed to change, you know. But it's interesting to be in a county that was Republican back before it was cool. Let me tell you, though, it always interesting to go back. When I interviewed Governor Nixon about his career, he told me about these WPA things they did to research us. So we pull a lot of our history from that. But it always talks about the first trials they had. So if you look back, the first session of court, which lasted 4 years, talked about the first divorce was in 1838. The first adultery case was held in 1839, but the guy beat the charge. Then they indicted him again on adultery, a case of John Poston. He ended up beating the adultery charge too, but then he was filed again on being a vagrant. So either the law had it out for him or it just wasn't going to work out.
I'm glad it wasn't a Steen, Miller, or Wright.
I was just saying, boy, we all just breathed out when you said the name. We're all waiting for that shoe to drop.
Let's talk a little about the agriculture. This was a spot. People, again, think about the lake, but back another time, it was a lot of hunting, but you also had corn and wheat, a lot of cattle farming and things. Tell me about the agriculture today.
Okay, well, you've got to remember that the lake only forms the border of Miller County, much like it does on Camden County. So it's not like it goes out throughout the whole county. I'll just have to start by saying agriculture, poultry has been always important in Miller County. The county seat that you couldn't hardly pronounce, Tuscumbia, had two poultry processing plants in it at one time. They were processed chickens, but there was two in Tuscumbia. And so we've always been big in chickens, and at now it's turkeys. And so we've always been big in poultry, which also pushes for cattle because of the fertilizer opportunities for for the fescue fields and whatnot. So really cattle and poultry, used to have lots of hogs, not so many anymore, but certainly cattle and poultry is what makes agriculture big in Miller County.
Yeah.
Few cornfields on the bottom, river bottoms, yeah. But the glacier did not come to Miller County. It stopped at Morgan County and Montauk County.
Most of that cornfield down on the bottom was owned by them rich Jeff City Coal County people, yeah. I remember right.
Yes.
You know, we're up on the ridge farms is what we call it. We end up on the ridge, but my family was all cattle farmers and stuff, and that's what we did. Yeah. We actually did have a little bit of the bottom land, but not much.
It's tough land some years too to make a living like it was this year because there's not much topsoil in a lot of it. So we have a little bit of pasture land and cropland in the north that's very productive, but the most of it is it's hard to make a living just on the farm in a lot of Miller County, and that's the way the old farmers were. They raised what they needed. They traded what they raised for food items and everything like that. So hasn't changed a whole lot.
Everybody's something else also. Uh-huh. You're a cattle farmer, right. Or you work on the trains.
Yes.
You're a cattle farmer or you're a surveyor.
Yep.
You're a cattle farmer or you're, you know.
Cattle farmer and.
Yes. Yeah. It's a vital part, but it's still just a part.
Just a part.
It's hard to be 100% farmer in Miller County.
Well, in St. Louis, they have farms that would be out in like Franklin County or something, and it'll be just a tax write-off.
Yes.
They'll have a tax write-off farm, maybe two cows. And
well, a lot of us are non-for-profit.
Yeah.
We were non-profit before it was cool.
That term was being around.
It's always was seemingly a problem when we was competing, the guys who actually tried to make money on their farm, competing against people who did it for a tax write-off because they was trying to lose money on purpose. And it's just, it's tough. That's sort of a opposite side of things.
Speaking of tough, you know, we went down the boot hill for Delta Days, and they're obviously real concerned about the tariffs. How does the tariffs impact the cattle or the poultry? Have you seen any
yet? Know, I don't know how it would impact us directly. It would impact maybe the people who buy us feed for ride to feed and things like that. The cattle market, a lot of us don't have enough cattle for it's part of our farm. We see a little bit of reduced income there. So I don't think it takes a direct hit on us like it does.
So you haven't seen a drop in prices?
No.
Not much. The drought's caused more than the tariffs have.
Is that because you're selling the cattle here and domestically anyhow?
Right.
Most part.
Right. Yes. Our markets are local, and then they sell them on to feedlots or feeders. And
all the poultry is contracted poultry through larger integrators like Cargill. And so, I mean, I told someone the other day I haven't checked the turkey price for centuries because it doesn't affect me. I raise on contract. And so when they're making money, they treat me a little better. But in general, I just raise on contract on my poultry.
Talk about some notable Miller Countyans. There was Senator Thomas Scott. Folks have called him the most striking figure in the legal history of Miller County. He wasn't educated like some other folks did, but he seemed to have a street smarts and made him successful in the legal community and in the U.S. Senate. He was maybe most notable in the state. He was his district in the Senate, in the state Senate, before he was in the U.S. Senate, was a delegate to the famous convention in 1861, where he argued to uphold the Union and the abolishment of slavery. But I think they all had sympathy. And there's a lot of testimony back here that these folks had recorded for people that wanted to stay in the Union, but they really didn't want to see abolitionists come in and tell them what to do. It was almost like we want to keep states' rights, but stay in the Union as a state. And that I found, you go down to Bolivar and Polk County, a lot of those folks said that was their memories of the Civil War too, is wanted to stay in the Union, but maybe didn't want to do it the way they wanted to be able to do whatever they wanted in their state.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of mix from people coming into our state too from the South. So they kind of had ties to the South, but when they got to the northern part of Missouri, their thoughts changed a little bit. So there was a mix there too.
This river
coming in.
Yeah, this river right here, Osage River, divides the county into what I would call the South, which was Southern sympathizers, and the North, which would be Union sympathizers. Now, I don't mean that exactly, but the Osage River pretty well divides Miller County the way the Civil War did the country.
Now, you go a little further north in Missouri, though, you run into Little Dixie, though, right? So it's kind of it's an odd patchwork of how people felt.
It is. But in the county itself, this county, the Osage River sort of divides. And if you've been to Tuscumbia at the Historical Society, there's two cabins there that we've restored. And one of them is a slave cabin from Tommy and Mai's ancestors who had slaves when they moved into the Iberia area and kept them there. well, at least through two generations, they had slaves before they were abolished. And so they moved that slave cabin down there at to the Historical Society. So it was an important part of the county.
We talked about during when the Civil War actually came, there wasn't a great deal of participation on either side. Folks kind of kept to themselves. There was about 815 people that made up a Central Missouri regiment for the Union. There wasn't a lot of – there was skirmishes from the South, but that was not really an organized part of the Confederate Army. And they said a lot of the population in Miller County at that time was very young, and or you had children to where they couldn't go off and fight. Which I guess helped keep them out of things. But the county back then, it was 15 to 1. In the presidential election of 1840, it was about 15 to 1 Democrat they voted. That obviously flipped not too long later. However, when they voted for Lincoln, when he ran, so they were Republican back to that time, the large numbers of slave owners, it was known as a huge farming area, but they were Union slave owners. I think there's a reaction here that says one of the larger folks, J.W. Johnson and Robert Roberts, were chosen to wait for the county court, and their ancestors were the most surprised by the Emancipation Proclamation because a lot of those folks thought they could stay in the Union and slavery would be left in the states and the counties like this that had not succeeded. Mm-hmm. So they were a little surprised by the change. There was a strong Methodist and Episcopalian religious portion who actually thought it was disrupting the church to outlaw slavery. They had an interesting argument on that. They actually had been forbidden to speak about abolitionist tendencies by the church. Told them just to totally stay out of it.
Yeah, I just want to make a this. There's some. You'll hear some stories probably from Rocky, particularly, and Tommy. But when I was served at the Capitol, there was caterers that came to the Capitol one day from Jefferson City, fine barbecue people. And when I went through that line to pick up my plate, this lady, this black lady, said, "You know, I'm your cousin." And I said, I knew that there was cousins up here that was originated from the black families that came with the Williams homesteaders that was sired by my grandpa originally and married back into the black community. And they came to my mom's 90th birthday party from Jefferson City. That's as awesome. Part of the family. And so it wasn't like it was fighting back and forth between the blacks and the whites at that time. Mm-hmm. It was all kind of family-like. And so I would like to give that story just because she was proud enough to be able to tell me that as I went through the line there at the Capitol at the serving line. So
that's neat.
Yeah, it is neat.
Anybody, any other notable Miller Countyans we skipped over?
You got the three most important right here.
We got Jason Bateman, right? we're gonna come back and talk about the dam after the break. Before then, obviously there's been a big to-do about the show Ozark on Netflix that's been filmed. I guess they're setting it for part around here, but Rocky, you've actually helped with it.
I was actually a consultant on the project, and so they sat down and after two or three beverages, we got down to where we were really talking about things around here. And as you watch through the show, there's a lot of stuff any three of us would say. There's probably only four or five parts of it that are truly something only I would say, and they used it in the story, and it's really
is that after the three beverages and that all that was put in there?
Jason Bateman likes sweet tea, doesn't he?
It's a wonder there's not a commissioner right then.
I've never watched it, but I've only heard negative things about it, so I'm just going to be truthful about that. I don't think it portrays the lake in a good way.
I think that it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it is as far as I can tell, the real estate group is the industry is very, very happy with it. They say you can't buy that kind of publicity. Okay. So it's fantastic.
I have watched it, and I do. It is not it's certainly two sides, but there's a lot of good in there too. And I think also some of the people they interact with are pretty good folks, like the folks I'd know around here. An interesting thing, everybody thinks it was filmed here, but it's actually filmed in Georgia. Yeah. Now, I know that you know, when you say, when you talk about incentives and things, there's a certain amount of folks that turn their nose up automatically. But, you know, what a boon it would be if it could have been done here. Is there any chance in the future that the state tries to attract some of those things?
I mean, tax credits are the big boogeyman right now out there. And I got to be honest, I mean, tax credits are a real problem when it comes to a lower budget. I mean, it's just sitting right on top of it. The problem is some things make us money. Investments make us money. Tourism budget makes us money. Road tax usually makes us money. Not all taxes are evil. I know that's hard to say coming from a staunchly Republican county like Miller.
Counties have roads too, right?
Yeah, but
gravel. Gravel roads are Republican counties.
I grew up on one in a Republican county.
But anyway, it is something that we do need to take a look at. We're missing out on some things. That money could come back several fold to us if we use it right.
Do you think a project like an Ozark, or there's a Missouri city that's set up in Georgia because Missouri doesn't offer this. If you can even make a dollar, if the thing even can cash flow, let's say they don't even get a return, the cultural value, I think, is there. Look at Cape Girardeau. They had that movie filmed, and it was actually filmed down there. They still have a tour and two bars and things. To me, if you can even get to back to square, it seems worth it.
You know, like I said, I think that tax credits are probably something we need to take a look at, and I would be for them. They have to be run correctly. Yeah. They have to show that they're giving money back to us. We have several credits that do that, that do a good job of showing the rate of return on stuff, and that's the thing we've got to model it after. We've just got some that really are just a boon to just a very few people, and those are the ones we got to take a look at and maybe look at dialing those back a skosh.
That's been a legislative discussion since the early 90s about giving tax credits to the movie industries. Mm-hmm. And if you'll watch some of the movies on TV, it's hard to believe how many have been filmed in Georgia. They have really made money off of that. I don't know whether Missouri could ever get to the point where they're at, but certainly that has been a discussion at the Capitol for at least 30 years.
It's a thing where there's a cultural benefit to it that matters. Even if you can just get your money back, there's also a huge benefit, I think, to the culture. I mean, you can imagine the fuss would be down here if they were filming that this fall. It would be a big deal, and people would. It makes you feel a little bit better. And if the government can play a role in that, it seems like something might be worth doing. You know.
Well, it's evolved too with IT technological mm-hmm. advances that we had. It's not just shown in a territory anymore. It can be shown worldwide. So
yeah,
it's very far reaching sometimes.
We're going to come back, and the reason they filmed Ozark here is the lake. We're going to talk about building the dam when we come back after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what ifs and more about the why nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered for life.
Welcome back to Show Me Missouri. We are fortunate enough this week to be joined by Representative Rocky Miller. Thank you for sticking with us.
You bet.
Don Steen, thank you, sir. And Commissioner Tom Wright, thank you for sticking around with us.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about the dam that made Lake of the Ozarks. Everybody in the state, when you talk about this area, the right between Jeff City, it popped your mind, the state capital and Lake of the Ozarks. In 1912, they first started coming up with this idea. An attorney out of Kansas City really started pushing it. They formed in 24, the Missouri Hydroelectric Company of Kansas City had been put forward to start buying land. Now, there's a lot of dams and things built, Tennessee River and things, but this was, I believe, the last major dam project that was built, and it was the only one that happened during the Depression. It says here 40,000 people came from every state in 9 foreign countries to start working on the dam, starting in August of 29, they actually started.
Remember, it's a private investor dam, mm-hmm. unlike maybe any across the rest of the country, and so that was part of the reason. I know that Rocky has all the details here, but I think it was started like 3 weeks before the Depression started.
In 1929, in 26, they halted it for financial difficulties. But in 1929, Union Electric, which is now Ameren Electric, came in and picked it up. Bagnell Dam is the largest and last major dam in America built entirely with private capital.
It was built in 18 months with basically pick and shovels and under budget, too, and under time.
But everybody needed a job at that time.
Yep.
They just poured into the lake area to work.
And it said they worked 24 hours round the clock on the thing for the 18 months. It took 18 months to build the dam, but it only took 4 months for it to fill. It started to fill on February 2nd, and it crested by May 30th, 1931. Five spring-fed rivers drained the Osage River. I'm going to say this. It's Grand. There's Glaze, Grabois, Pomme de Terre, and then
Niagara.
Is it Niagara?
Niagara.
Niagara. You can go to every part of the state, and you'll find something you can't hardly pronounce. The completion of the Truman Dam and the Grand, now I'm going to say this, Rocky, Grand and Pomme de Terre rivers.
Yep.
Is that okay? Became part of the same reservoir. 22 towns and villages were destroyed or relocated. Approximately 30,000 acres of timberland were cleared, and 900 miles of fence were removed. Those 22 towns and villages, there's some interesting towns in there.
They're represented right here, Wilmore Lodge, by the lodge rooms on the far end, the other wing. I think there's six or seven of the towns, Zebra, and I can't even name them, but...
I actually made a note. There was one called Not As Much or something like that. that they didn't even bother writing up that it went. Ambrose Mill, Bannister, Cape Galena, Colangata, I'm going to say that wrong, Crittenden, Duroc, Erie, Old Gravois Mills. I guess they moved Gravois Mills and Mill Creek, right?
Yeah, and Old Lynn Creek.
Lynn Creek, they moved up.
Yeah, moved them uphill.
Hastane, Lively, Nonsuch was the name of the town that nobody seemed to remember much about, but it's listed here. Osage Iron Works, Proctor, Purcell, Purvis, Riverview, Sagrana, Shawnee Bend, Spring Valley, Zora, and then Zebra, but they say that's now, they call that Osage Beach now.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of cemeteries were buried. I mean, it is a huge, expansive lake that was originally named after probably the first statesman of Missouri, Thomas Hart Benton, but the name never officially stuck. Since they never officially named it after Senator Benton, Lake of the Ozarks was kind of adopted by everybody, what they called it, and that just kind of stuck with it. The dam has eight generators with a capacity of 21,500 kilowatts. Every year they put out around 500 million kilowatt hours. Rocky, you're an engineer. Like, how much power is that?
That's a lot. It was
scientific
built,
term.
I mean, it was built basically so that they could power up the mines in near your area, a little north of you, a little bit, lead mine areas and stuff. I used to live out that area, and I wished every time that I drove back, I could drive underneath those power lines because they're straight. And if you've driven between the two, the roads are not straight between the two.
That's true.
And so I've always thought about that. Now, the amount of power that they've got, they use it as a peaker basically, but they've been starting to use it a lot more. They replace those generators and they're using them a lot more, and it's actually causing trouble for Commissioner Wright downstream a little bit, and me also, in the fact that we're getting a lot more erosion downstream than we had in the past. And so,
because you have a current from the movement of the water?
Yeah,
it goes up and down.
Goes up and down a lot.
The fluctuations of it.
And it used to just go up if we needed a little bit of power. They'd kick it on for St. Louis and make sure the lights stay on up in St. Louis. And now, boy, they use that thing. They've got it all computerized, and it just comes on when it needs to come on.
Of course, it's very inexpensive power also as far as all the other power plants they run. This is the least expensive power that they can generate. And so it'd be beneficial to them to use it as much as they could.
It's clean energy, too.
Yeah,
it's renewable too, and it was cheaper until they put $50 million just now into the dam. I think it's $50 million. Is that how much?
Probably 60 some.
$60 million. They resurfaced the dam. They're in the middle of the project right now. They're making sure. It's kind of funny. About 20 years ago, I'm a land surveyor, and working with my dad. Actually, it might have been longer than that. 25 years ago, we made a bunch of little dots on the dam, and they drilled down and they tied the dam into the bedrock because they did some studies and found that if it overtopped, it could flip over, and they didn't want that to happen. So they tied it down, they regrouted it, and got done. Then some smart guy came along from the federal government and said, hey, are those tendons still good? And I went, We don't know. So they're out there right now redrilling those tendons, and they're going to put oil
at a different angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at a different angle. They're going to make sure that they can test them from now on. So
probably a good idea.
Not bad. You don't want a dam to flip over. That would be bad.
That'd be a whole other episode of Ozark if that dam flipped over.
It just sits there. Yeah, it was just sitting on rock. One of the interesting things to me about that project was I've seen two or three of their presentations, but down below the spillways, they used the old pillars on the old railroad that was still underwater. They were still strong enough to build a platform on to put the big cranes on to do all this work with. And that was astonishing to me that they were built so long ago and all that concrete was still good. So that was interesting.
Built it right.
Yes. You know?
Interesting, the relationship. We're here at Wilmore Lodge. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Which is the lodge was built by Ameren and maintained and kept. Ameren's got people, if you've ever been to the lake, you've played skee ball or you've been to the strip, that's in Miller County, correct?
Yes, it is.
And
part of it.
You know that neon sign where it says Ameren? It's an interesting relationship that Ameren has with this community. Probably different than, you know, you think of the electric companies who you send your bill to here.
I still think of Union Electric more than I think of Ameren, because Union Electric was the local boys that really took care of everybody. They go check out the power lines and they may leave two or three rolls of black tape and might do a few things on your private pole that they're not supposed to. Not so much more so anymore. It was local boys running the bad dam, and it was nice back then. It ain't quite that way now, but there, still there, benefits and property taxes.
They're still fixing Jay Rice barn hookups. You know, he didn't think it was right that you paid for your Dusty Don light, so that may have missed the meter, you know, on occasion. So that's my grandfather was a UE line worker, lived just under the hill over just on the other side of the river.
Well, we're now for helping the locals out.
Yep.
So,
what approximately do they pay? I mean, obviously the tax base on this got to be.
I ought to be able to produce that figure, but I can't actually tell you. It used to be for the local school district, school of the old say, the biggest taxpayer by a long shot. Not so much more anymore because of all the building that's taken place. Certainly, it's still a huge contributor to the school district, and I know the rest of the schools in Miller County just hate Osage because of that, because it's not distributed. Now, the lines that go across, they're distributed, mm-hmm. but the dam itself is locally
Now, what assessed. School district is that in?
School of the Osage.
Okay.
I know Rockin', I think, is the best school district in the state.
You know, it's a really good school. Probably right behind it, Tuscumbia, Eldon, Lakers.
I think that's right on their tail. I think you're exactly right.
And Iberia Rangers. And
St. Elizabeth.
St. Elizabeth a little bit, only by maybe five or folks or so in St. Elizabeth. I know when they vote.
So what is the biggest school district in the county?
Eldon.
There's five districts in Miller County.
In Miller County, yes. In Miller County, you're correct. But total
school population, it's equal now. Equal Osage and Eldon population, student population is now the same.
For
right
Miller County students, it's Eldon.
Yeah.
They're going to probably recruit now so they can one-up them. You know, have a few more.
There's been known that there is some sort of a rivalry between Osage and Eldon.
You are lucky that you have Tuscumbia and two Osage people in here, because I don't think I don't know if I'd come in here if there's an Eldon person in here. I'm not really sure.
You know what I told you? When you told me Tommy
kidding,
and Rocky
everybody.
Was
that's
here,
a joke.
I was glad to come.
Yeah,
that's the only time I've ever seen somebody more apt to come somewhere if Rocky was going to be there. You can tell we're in his own territory. Now, what's the mascot of the school of the Osage?
They're the Indians.
The Indians? Makes sense.
And we're proud of the Indians. We're the Osage Indians, and it's unlikely we're going to change our name.
Well,
politically correct.
I went to Southeast Missouri State, and they were the Indians, and now they've changed it to some politically correct animal that I guess isn't offended by much. I don't know. We're now the Southeast Missouri State University politically correctors, and our athletic teams probably show it. But what's the Eldon school's mascot?
Eldon is the Mustangs.
Tuscumbia's Lions. San Elizabeth Hornets.
Iberia Rangers.
Nice. Well, we're going to come back for our last segment. I always want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Counties, CFM Insurance, and the Missouri Co-op Association. We'll be right back after this to finish talking about the history of Miller County.
Here's something worth shouting.
From the hilltops to the rooftops, you're a member of an electric cooperative. That means you have a say.
A voice in how your co-op is run.
In what's best for the community.
Power to the people.
For the people.
From the people.
Doesn't that sound good?
Learn more about the power of your co-op membership
at togetherwesave.com.
We are Missouri's electric cooperatives. Learn more at membersfirst.coop today.
She's probably heard more than she wants to hear.
Well, Rachel, welcome back to Showing Missouri. We're always glad that when Rachel makes the time to come put up with us. We're here with Mr. Steen, Mr. Commissioner Wright, and Representative Rocky Miller talking about the history of Miller County. Before we get into our last segment, I want to thank our sponsors again, the Missouri Farm Bureau and Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, CFM Insurance, and the Missouri Association of Counties. Let's talk about the business climate. When you date back early on, there was a you go back into the history. They kind of frowned on brothels and saloons, but they let you have a bar. A lot of the stuff was in and around livestock, and butchering was sort of the main focus of the early business tactics. Being close to Jeff City, there was always a bit of a government tie-in. But tell us about the business community today in Miller County.
Well, let me just say, Tommy and Rocky probably do better than that, but I know that there was a editor in the Eldon paper that probably got fired because he described Eldon as a bedroom community to Jefferson City. Back in the 80s, he probably did that, and that wasn't something Eldon just not wanted to be talked about as being a bedroom community. But truthfully, there were a bedroom community of Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought, too.
Because of the jobs down here that was offered to those people up there. And so
back when I was growing up, Eldon had a lot of industry, and it still has some industry, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. And Versailles up in that area has a little bit of industry. But they've started to embrace it a little bit. I noticed some signs up there. Gateway to Lake of the Ozarks is what Eldon says now. And you were talking about brothels and stuff. You know, you say that, but if you look out this window right here, you can see Casino Pier still. It's right there. And it was a casino, and that's why they called it Casino Pier.
Now, is that in Camden County or Miller County?
That's Miller County.
Well, the first business was in Spring Garden, owned by Lanson and Dixon in the early half of the 1830s. Robert Simpson and Thomas Dean sold their goods there. They were some hunters and trappers. In 1838, Mr. Pulham had stores at the site of Iberia that kind of became the nucleus of the town. There was really no recognized county seat for a long time, but Tom Price was the mail carrier over the old little Piney and the Versailles Road. Later, they settled on Tuscumbia because it was, it says here they were in the middle of the county. But now a lot of the business has to be, you said Eldon doesn't like to be a bedroom community of Jefferson City, right?
They don't like to be considered that.
So what is folks in Eldon and Tuscumbia's view of the lake and the capital? I mean, their geography puts them square in the middle of two pretty big Missouri institutions. What is the normal view of folks at the lake or the lake itself?
I think the view is really changed to the better. There's more of a regional thought now as far as economic development and job availability. So people are more worried about having a job than they are where they live and what their thoughts are. Back when we were all in high school, the rivalries were really great, and that was carried through the generations. You didn't just develop that on your own. You were told that where you lived. But it is really not like that anymore. People work in Jeff, and a lot of people work here at the lake. We have fun here at the lake. The lake has really developed. There's so much more available than it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. My word, my wife has a private spot at Kohl's. She shops down there all the time. So things have come.
You get a mortgage spot?
Yeah, that's right. Things have come to the lake that everybody used to just see in the cities, and that has made the whole area more desirable when you live here, not just when you come in vacation. So the regional thought is so much more prevalent right now.
Well, we are truly all in it together. You know, there's little jibes. I kind of laugh. I lived out in Tuscumbia on the old farm for 10 years, and the entire time I was there, I was that lake boy, entire time I was there. And then I moved back, and now I'm the Tuscumbia boy, and I don't even know how I ended up with that. I did move back home, and home for me is Miller County near the Lake of the Ozarks. Well, Miller County's the home.
We become somewhat of, at the lake, a retail center, you know, not only with the outlet, and ball that started, but then with Lowe's, Menards, and Home Depot, and the other big box stores that came here to Lake Ozark and Osage Beach. I mean, so now we're a retail center, and so people certainly come here to shop more than just to be a tourist.
It reminds me of Farmington. If you think about Farmington, you know, it started off with just a little bitty Walmart there and a feed store. And then Maple Crest Valley started.
Yep. And well, they did a good job with that, how they
and,
grow
and
that.
And that's turned into a real big deal. I mean, you know, and shoot, they were even able to build this four-lane road down south. I don't know if you ever heard of that one or not.
No, the best public works project in Henry State.
I get asked a lot why Tuscumbia is the county seat. Well, we were the largest city in Miller County at one time. Then the river trade died and they built the railroad, so everything moved out when that happened. So there were general stores. There's even a car dealership there.
My dad was born in Tuscumbia.
Yes, we had a hospital.
I was born in Tuscumbia.
So Tuscumbia has a long, long history of being the capital city of Miller County, but I get that asked to me all the time
what
by
is
people
the
that moving
city
in.
Now?
It'd be Eldon.
About how big is Eldon?
4,500.
Yeah, right around 5,000.
You know, people in Eldon, and that, truthfully so, I mean, that's the big population center of the county, but Miller County goes for miles below south of Tuscumbia. As the assessor, I was even shocked about how far I went to assess properties toward Vienna, Missouri,
yeah,
or toward Crocker. I mean, we go a long ways down, even past Iberia.
Well, Versailles is somewhere, folks, that if you come up from Rolla,
yeah,
going to Jeff City, you go through Versailles, right?
Right.
Right through there.
Wrong European.
And that
capital
might be Versailles if you ask the right person.
Yeah, Versailles.
Well, maybe if you're from France, right? But if you're in Missouri, I think it's Versailles. The population, though, it kind of shows where when the railroad came in at the latter part of the 1800s, the population doubled in two decades there. And then it sort of leveled off, even when the dam was built, until the 80s. Then population had a huge jump in the 80s, and it's kind of progressed positively ever since. You think that's people that are retiring down here, or what's driven that? I mean, you don't find very places in Missouri where nights in the 80s it grew 23%. Then it kept double-digit growth until 2010, and even today it's growing.
Well, I was on the school board here at Osage at that time, and we just had growth out our ears of students, as well as growth of the assessed value. But, every 10 years, I always thought as I lived down here, we just can't grow any bigger. And every 10 years, something would happen down here at the lake that would just send us up to another level. And yes, now I think it's the second homeowner community that we have here that's driving mm-hmm. all these second retail businesses. And all that growth that took place in the 90s and the early 2000s has slowed down. There's not a whole lot more lots to build homes on. And so, yeah, even those.
Yes, there are plenty of blank land out there.
Okay.
As a surveyor, I'm saying lots of places.
If you get off
up
the lake, there's plenty of land, okay?
Yeah.
So that population growth, I'm sure your graph will show, has slowed down after the 80s and early 90s and early 2000s.
Really slowed down the last 5 years, but until then it had a huge run. I mean, our big family vacation every year was coming to the lake. My aunt and uncle had a little cabin, and we'd play skee ball, and I just thought I was I could have been in Versailles or Versailles, either one. I thought I was living high. I think most folks in Missouri have at least one or two lake stories thinking back, whether they get
at it. You know, every family in Missouri can have a story like that about
yep.
coming at a certain one of the mom and pop resorts. They would come and they would love that place, and they'd become their family and come down every summer. And now those places are all condos. Almost all of them has been leveled or sold off individually, and they're condos now owned by fairly well-to-do people in St. Louis and Kansas City, who comes down here and spends a lot of money.
Can't beat that.
Can't beat that.
So when we wrap up, I always like to ask folks, if you're going to have, if you're coming to Miller County for the day, what would you do?
I definitely come look at the dam, look at the lake, go up and down the strip, have lunch, have breakfast, have dinner there. There's a lot of entertainment value there. At least that's where I would go. I think these guys might have a little different places you might gotta go.
I would suggest Tuscumbia and to the Miller County Historical Society. It's really, really a very nice historical place, even the building itself from the old steamboat era of Tuscumbia. And we have two log cabins I mentioned earlier. One was a slave cabin, and one was my grandparents' two-story log cabin that I slept upstairs many a time. And they restored them there, and it'd be a nice 2 or 3 hour visit at Tuscumbia.
When is that open for folks to come visit it?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, or something like that.
Through October.
October. But really done a good job.
Where would you have somebody go?
I'd tell them. I get asked this question a lot. I have a little cabin on my farm that I'm actually part of the agritourism industry that we rent out. And I have people from all over the United States come there, which surprises me.
Explain that to me, yeah.
Well, agritourism is a new function.
I grew up in a trailer in Butler County, so maybe they don't sound appealing, but explain that to me.
It's a little house that was on my farm. My grandfather actually built it in the 40s, but I completely restored it, made it look like a lodge log, you know, a log cabin. But it's very modern, and we rent it on a nightly basis. It's on the internet, TriCreekCabins.com.
TriCreekCabins.com, I like
and
it.
And we rent it. Well, these people that come, they always want to know what they can do on a weekend. Most of our business is Friday and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. We always promote the lake because everybody's heard of Lake of the Ozarks.
Sure.
But I tell people to, if they can endure it, drive 54 to the lake, go down 42, hit C, come back over to 17, up 52 through Tuscumbia, stop at our historical society. We have a unbelievably world-class one. His brother-in-law is responsible for most of it. But
it really
drive around
nice.
The county.
Nice.
You get to see the different towns, the little towns, the big towns, and end back up at the lake. But people are just fascinated by our area all the time. And I think that's really complimentary to what we've done here.
That is. That
leave somebody out if, you know, I'm thinking cheeseburger at the Hard Times, the pork tenderloin at Whittle's.
Well, they usually find
creamy,
those places.
The chili dog at Creamy's, world famous.
People, it's funny, people have heard of a lot of things that we have that we take for granted. So they want to come. Sometimes they want to see them. But everybody's heard of the lake, and that's what we can.
And, of course, pizza at Casablanca.
That was one that I was close with. But I've gotten familiar, and I know this is on audio, but if you could see, if it was on video, you'd see I like to eat. And that's good pizza.
That is good pizza.
Rachel, we're going to Greene County next week for the show. Yeah, we're going to go down and see Lincoln Huff. I figure I ain't gotten an amount of good trouble in a long time.
Hey, that's my cousin.
Yeah, approximately a year and a half. So we'll go down to Greene County next week and see what trouble we can rustle up here. Want to thank our sponsors again, the Missouri Farm Bureau, Missouri Association of Co-ops, CFM Insurance, and Missouri Association of Counties. Mr. Steen, thank you for joining us. I sure enjoy talking about Miller County.
Very glad to be here with you about it.
And I'm going to get my picture with you because you're the one person I know that's more apt to come somewhere if Rocky's going to be there.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Commissioner, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
The hospitality here at the Wilmore Lodge, this is beautiful. If you do come to the lake, you got to come at least take a look at this. This is really, I've been to the lake 1,000 times, but I've never been here. This is neat. And Representative, thank you for spending some time with us talking about the history of Miller County. I'm still going to tell folks it's named after you or your granddad.
That's fine.
And we'll see you next week on Show Me Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time from Greene County, the big city down in Springfield.